gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
What? It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us through as far as we have made it thus far. Father, we don't know what we would love to know when. We would love to know for with great assurance that Isaiah 30:21 will be applicable to each of us, that we will hear in our ear behind us a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever we turn to the left hand or whenever we turn to the right. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that for those of us who are gifted by being led by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we're not. If anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know, 1 Corinthians 8:2. But at the same time, and we all see through the mirror dimly, but at the same time, Father, let us hear the words that we need to hear to know when it is the time that we need to make a change in our lives, whatever that may be. Or maybe we stay exactly where we're at. We don't know. Everyone seems to have a plan. Let us not be distracted. Let us keep our hearts and our minds completely stayed upon you, as it says, keep our hearts and minds stayed on things above and not on things of this world, Colossians 3:3 or thereabouts. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that anyone who would have mal or evil, malice or evil intent, that you would make their eyes blind, make their ears deaf, so that they are unable to even hear this radio show, to even know about it. And if they were to, Father, that maybe it would lead them to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all of your mercies for us. We praise you for even being in, if we are in the period of time, which is spoken of in Daniel 7:25, we thank you for helping us to understand that it doesn't mean that we're cut off. It just means that we're under a much heavier oppression. And we praise you for that. And I thank you for the revelations that you have taught me as an actual walking part of my life. And I pray that I never lose that communication, that amazing confirmation that we are still being heard, just because some of us are under extreme oppression by the devil, and I don't know exactly why or how that works, but we praise you, Father God, and we ask you for divine protection from all the evil eyes, all the evil ears, and all the things that are happening across the world, Father, that are designed to establish the great tribulation, the mark of the beast, The list is so big for those of us who have been awake and aware, and we praise you for that, Father, because if, even though the burden is heavy, most of us would not want to go back. We want to be aware. We want to be watching. We want to know what it means in, as you know, in Luke 21:20, that prophetic moment where Jerusalem, you know, when you see your enemies surrounding Jerusalem, Father God, and that's all we see over there right now, and much worse, much worse. Father, give us all, in the name of Jesus, a clean heart. Help us to amplify the love within us by worshiping you and setting aside special time to just go into worship. Because I can't speak for anybody else, but I can speak for myself. Sometimes, and if you do look up the words, all I look up the song and the lyrics to Rita Springer's song, All I Need, it speaks volumes to those of us who are in such situations where we have no place to turn. There just isn't any place to turn except to you. And I do believe with all of my heart that that is by design. I don't understand it. I don't pretend to, but I praise you for it. Does it make me nervous? Absolutely. Does that mean that maybe I should question whether or not I fully trust you or not, Lord? Yes. I'm not saying that. I want to believe that I'm trusting you beyond any shadow of a doubt, that there isn't anything that concerns me. But I think that there are things that concern all of us. For good reason, too, because there's examples in the Holy Bible, things that we would not or rather not have to live through or experience. And we're just going to trust that we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High enough to be qualified to receive the blessings that are spoken forth in your word. And you're not a man that you ought to lie. In Psalm 91, we praise you, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Protect us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Keep us healthy. Help us, the parts of our body that are, our bodies that are given way, we pray in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, that you will heal them, that we're able to fulfill and complete the race that has been set before us. I don't understand all of those scriptures that Paul spoke about. I wish I did. I wish I understood them perfectly. But I praise you, Father, for them, because it gives us really awesome guidance to be able to get through the days that we're in right now. Thank you for your divine protection, Father. And in accordance with Matthew 18:19, where it says, where two or more are gathered together on this earth concerning anything that they ask for, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, it shall be given them. Father, we pray for an anointing of faith, that we should not question that. And always remember Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow, that we ought never to stop praying. It's not lack of faith, it's obedience. And we praise your holy name. If we have the gift of speaking in tongues, help us, Father God, to remember that that punches through the noise. It punches through the spiritual realm, and it stops the enemy from stopping our prayers or attempting to. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I went through the, what would you call them? Content items, we'll call them content items, that I was able to scoop from X, or whatever you want to call it. And everything is under such heavy censorship right now. It appears that the SOS is the one media platform that they're having the hardest time getting full control over, appears to be Telegram. And I know a little bit about the redundancy, the electronic redundancy between the servers and how they're encrypted between point to point and all over the world, a whole big web of them. And I can see how they could have incredibly difficult time trying to censor that architecture. Praise God. Nevertheless, We still have to, for those of us who are trying to find the tidbits, and they're not just tidbits. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to really just rattle on with a dialogue. I know that there are those of you out there that listen to these programs, and I know that you kind of start pacing the floor a little bit if I don't get in there, you know, in 3 days or 4 days or whatever it is, but sometimes there's nothing, I mean nothing to talk about. I can just sit here and ramble and say, wow, it was really cool. The other day I prayed and I held my head down and I said, Holy Spirit, show me where those batteries are at, Holy Spirit, and actually feeling myself walking through the hallway right over to where they were located. I could sit there and talk about those things. I could talk about pre-existence. I could talk about symbiotic spacecraft. I could talk about all kinds of things. I got the audio bites to back them up. I mean, thousands of them from, you know, 15 years of radio shows. But it's not really relevant. Right now, every single one of us, and if we're not, oops, every single one of us ought to be watching we're in World War III, and all the experts agree with it. Okay, because all of the pieces are in place, and they're happening in real time. However, it's not what you might refer to as, in certain places, like in Ukraine, of course, in the Middle East, at certain times, there are lots of bombs and explosions going off and all that kind of stuff. And everybody say, wow. But a lot of folks would say, well, that is localized to the Middle East and Ukraine is localized to Ukraine. There was a lot of hubbub out there recently about, well, you know, Russia's going to attack NATO because they found, you know, some kind of a drone or something that, you know, I don't know if it was Poland or wherever they found it. And there was such a fuss made out of it. And oh, no, Russia's definitely going to attack NATO. No, not at all. That was a lie from the devil. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Putin and his leadership, you know, Putin, actually in this particular case, Putin came out and spoke fervently and said, no, absolutely not. So this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Goebbels-like mind manipulation, MK Ultra type stuff right now. Because they want the forces of darkness, the SOS, which controls the CIA, the NSA, the Mossad, the whole deal. It's all being manipulated at the highest, what would you call it, hierarchy of the Satanic Kingdom. But our Heavenly Father is in control. And it's so very difficult for people to understand these things, you know, and that's all right. That's all right. Because you know what? I don't think I could do enough shows to explain it. And quite frankly, I'd figure I'd probably lose people pretty quick. Anyway, so I'm trying my best, and this may not be that, you know, I know the long-term listeners are probably going, oh, please talk about symbiotic spaceships and stuff. I hear you. But the problem is, right now, we have to look at the threats to Christianity. We have to look at the threats to us. We have to do the very, very best we can. When Jesus said to watch ye therefore, he wasn't asking. And the people that aren't watching, well, what's going to happen? The implication that I pull from the scripture is when people stop watching because they just can't take it anymore. They can't take the Groundhog's Day stuff. They can't take the La Brea tar pit slow movement of everything that's happening right now. They can't take it. So they flip the switch off. And I get it. I can relate to what they're doing. But I don't think it's a good idea. I really don't. We are very blessed to have the David Doetry vision. We are very blessed to have the Tommy Hicks vision, which is actually coming true right now, which was, that vision occurred, I do believe, back in the middle of the 1960s. And it included two groups of Christians rising up in revival. And the first group that rose up kind of shrunk back down for a while, which probably indicates persecution. And then the second group that rose up was, I estimate, to the best of my understanding, that would have been the final harvest, okay? Which is going to be big. it's going to be big. And there were 1.3 million Christians, okay, in Serbia, I believe it was, in the streets worshiping Jesus. A smaller amount, I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands there were, but same thing in Venezuela. And then another group of Christians worshiping out in public in front of everybody in Colorado. Praise God. These are the manifestation of the Tommy Hicks vision taking place right now. I don't think we realize how close we are. And then when I was making the connection, and I brought this up several times about, well, gee whiz, all of these visions, you know, whether it be the Sorry Park, time with Jesus, or the David Doherty time with Jesus, or the Randy Hecker time, you know, in his very vivid vision. One of the things that they all had in common was everybody was freaking out. Which, by the way, is highly scriptural. But here's the thing. How many attack waves of freaking out do we have before the very end? Or before the start of the Great Tribulation? See, that's the thing. There could very easily be a freaking out period simply associated with the arrival of the copper ball spaceship. This Death Star spaceship. In the sky, shown on every single TV worldwide. That's enough to send the people into a panic. So that would establish the baseline of interconnectivity between, you know, and all them who saw it will fear and tremble, and men's hearts failing them for fear of those things coming upon the earth and everything else. Okay, and it's even in the 14 books, in some of the 14 books of the Apocrypha out of the 1611 King James. Now, anyway, I'm not going to get tied up in that because in that case, this is going to be one of those weird shows where all that's in it is me going off talking about all these things from a dialogue standpoint, but not playing for you, which I think is very, very important, the experts. I don't know what I am. Except dazed and confused and completely befuddled. But beyond that, I'm just trying to piece it all together. But I'm seeing elements of major visions and major prophetic moments that are in our face right there. Like the Christian groups rising up. That is definitely a manifestation of the Tommy Hicks vision. All right, which you can look up on the internet, and please try not to be troubled by some of the names of the ministries that are publishing it, because, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to judge anybody, because I'm certainly not qualified to be doing that. So, but don't be concerned about the names of the ministries. Just find the vision itself and read it. I think you will be... you will be edified. Praise Jesus. All right. On that note, I will hit a couple of points as I work my way into the audio bites. All right. And I'm not sure whether to start at the bottom or the top. So I think I'm going to start at the top and work my way down, because usually that's where the most relevant, not necessarily the most relevant, but the things that are the most current. For example, did you know that Iran has rejected all Trump talks, MOUs, everything has been categorically rejected by Iran? Now, this wasn't just like an IRGC separating away from their... No, this is everybody in Iran. This includes, their president, the Ayatollah guy that's taken over for what's his name. I don't follow that. I forget it. Mujtaba or something like that. Anyway, it's beside the point. I'm not really into that. It's just not that relevant. What's relevant is that Iran collectively has come out in the public. This is by, Colonel Douglas McGregor has posted this, and talk about a trustworthy post. He says that they are going to keep the Strait of Hormuz closed until 2029. Now, I got to go back and take a listen to the movie They Live, the audio bite that's on YouTube about, go to YouTube and you got to type They Live Elite Dinner Party or something like that. Because somewhere toward the end of that little deal is they actually mention a date. And I'd really kind of like to know when that was. Now, of course, that's always subject to change because our Father is in control. He's ultimately in control of everything. Okay, but there is a point that he kind of turns the whole world over, with the exception of the Great Harvest, the tribulation saints that are cast into the Great Tribulation, okay? They are, because they're the ones who don't get stung, because the seal of God is on the forehead. They don't get stung by the locusts, all right? Those are the tribulation saints, because the locusts don't appear until after the Great Tribulation is started in Revelation 9. Revelation 6:17 marks the point that the Great Tribulation begins. For the day of his wrath, Jesus' wrath, has come, our Heavenly Father, and who is able to stand? That's a marker, because 1 Thessalonians 5:9 makes it very clear. We are not appointed to wrath. And I actually had somebody that had been to Bible college tell me, well, you're taking things out of context. And I'm like thinking to myself, oh, great. You know, yeah, 50% of people that go to Bible college drop out as atheists. Right? And the ones that do make it through, they're not thinking straight, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, but that's okay. I'm not mentioning any names. Praise God. All right, so I did want to bring that forward to you because it's a very significant dynamic in what's unfolding right now. Could something change? I don't know. But this was a formal statement put out by Iran, and Douglas McGregor recommunicated it on his X feed. All right, so you need to know about that. Praise God. Now, I'm also going to play for you this little bite. Okay, this is from Iran. It's an Iranian person, I'm pretty sure, speaking this to you. Listen to the six conditions that Iran has set forth for anything to change. But this actually came out before this statement about 2029. So which overrides which? I don't know, but here's the thing. You're going to hear it, and here's what you're going to take away from it. There's no way. And that's the right thing to take away, because there is no way. All right, praise God. So let me see. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. I got the switch flipped the right way. Hopefully this is still playing.
He came up with six conditions calling for the United States to, quote unquote, correct its behavior. And these six conditions include, first, stop the threatening language against Iran. That is his demand. Also, he came out to say that ending the war in all fronts, including the Iranian front as well as the Lebanese front, this is another key point of concern for the Iranian side, and that has been so since the beginning of the talks that ended up in the Memorandum of Understanding in Islamabad. Also, he called for the removal of the maritime naval blockade by the Americans, another important issue because that is critically important for Iranian trade and Iranian economy in particular, because that is quite dependent upon oil export, and the situation here is putting a lot of pressure for an economy which is already deteriorated. Also, he called for compensation for the damages that Iran has suffered from as a result of war. And this is not only him. Also, we've got from the Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi yesterday talking about the necessity for compensation. And also, number five, he talked about the removal of the sanctions. He called them illegal and unjust sanctions against Iranian people. Again, that has been another precondition for any diplomatic engagement, or at least a sort of objective when it comes to potential diplomatic engagement. And last but not the least, he calls for the release of the frozen assets of the country.
All right, so you heard it. You heard it here first. On Charlie. All right. Well, anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So I wanted you to hear that. Now, people are starting to get, I'm going to have a lot of dings and ding, bring, 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 a lot of that kind of stuff going on in the background, because the people that I confer with behind the scenes, they never know when I'm doing a podcast. They never know. So they'll just start going, bring. So you'll hear a lot of that in the background, especially as the day comes to the 5 o'clock mark. Right now, I'm recording an hour early before the work day is over, but I also start work. So you don't. Why is it that you can start work sometimes at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning? I'm an early riser, But, you know, you never get credit for that. You only get credit for the stuff that you do late at night, which isn't, it's just not going to work with me. It's just not going to work with me. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So I wanted you to be aware of that because it's very, very significant to everything. You know, all these endless lies that are coming out of Draco T's camp and out of it, and all that stuff. It's just lies. It's tons of word salad lies, like I tried to explain on the last program, which I forgot to change the date on the title of the thing, but dagnabbit, there's just too much going on in my life to try to keep up with all these things. But anyway, let me just go ahead and keep plowing through these comments. So this one here says, okay, so this is talking about that Egypt, and I'm just going to go ahead and see if there's an audio bite included in this. All right. This one here says that Egypt could join the new Mecca Defense Pact that is forming right now between Turkey, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia once some technical issues are resolved, according to the Turkish foreign minister. Now, that's significant because, okay, now we have to rewind back to something that many of you may not have ever heard of, which was the prophetic moment in time that a Semitic Jew, Jewish, proper Semitic Jewish boy, by the name of Natan, N-A-T-A-N, was taken to heaven. Now, of course, he couldn't tell any of his rabbis or anything who he met with, because they would have flipped out. And he even said that. But in his heavenly encounter, he was shown that the GC, all of them, all the Arab countries, all the Sunnis and the Shias, they all get together and they're all fighting one another and fighting one another. And then all of a sudden they realize, what are we doing? And they all turn against Israel. That's the moment in time when Luke 21:20 is fulfilled. All right, that's important. All right, so anyway, there are little bits and pieces of what I'm sharing with you that are very, they're elemental in building the case for an imminent departure. Now, the problem is you can't quantify imminent. You can't quantify soon. We can't. We don't know how long the Lord's going to allow this to drag out. And Draco T, since his purpose for existence is to destroy the West. If you think this thing about the midterms, no, forget about it. It's all going to be fixed. It's going to be fixed. And you know who it's going to be fixed through? Yes, the SOS, who's in charge of everything right now. All right, but I don't foresee them making it. This is just me. But at this time, I do not see. There's a lot of people out there talking about the no-hide laws, the no-hide laws, the no-hide laws, the no-hide laws. When I look at my Bible and I look at 21:20, Luke 21:20, I don't see them getting an opportunity to establish the no-hide laws. I know that they would like to, but I don't see them getting the opportunity. I see them getting destroyed. At least that's what it implies in my Bible, but maybe, you know, who knows? Who knows how it's all going to unfold? One thing is for sure, at the end of the Albert Pike 1871 letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, who, you know, he wrote that the intention, the goal was to destroy Jewish, Christian, and Muslim religion so that there's nothing left except the worship of Lucifer. Now, see, that makes sense to me. All right, because that pretty much typifies the whole everything around the Great Tribulation. All right, praise God, thank you, Jesus. So again, here is a little statement from Colonel Douglas McGregor. I don't know, Let me see. Here we go. All right,
And in the media have been very successful in manipulating the markets and the population by saying every other week, we're close to a deal. The war is going to end. Things are going to get better and so forth. It's all nonsense. There are no talks between us and the Iranians. None. People need to understand that he's just lying, okay? I hate to be blunt, but that's what it is. And this war is going to go on. Now, I have been told that they have flown in a number of additional jet fighters. And I'm beginning to hear that you've got every B-52, B-1 and B-2 bomber that they can load up and ship out to fly strikes on standby to do so. So my perception is that they utilize this time to reinforce their position. Because so I think we're headed into another round, and I think he's going to try and do what he said, which is a massive, massive punch that he hopes will unhinge the regime. We say regime, I'll just say government.
All right, now I'm going to stop it right there because there are things that are interconnected. Now I'm going to try to find it. Please, Lord Jesus, let me find it in the stack. All right, all right. Oh, man. It's harder than you think. Okay, so let me see here. So, no, it's not that. It's not that. Hold on just a second. Let me do a little hunting. Okay, now think about what you just heard Douglas McGregor say. All right, now he's talking about, you know, what's next, right? This is Scott Ritter's take on what is likely next. And by the way, during this program, which I'm like, I can't play the whole thing for you, but during this, they held up, or just like Alex Jones used to do when, you know, when he was in his main studio, you know, he'd show article after article after article after article after article, showing, demonstrating that they're not just making this stuff up. Stitching together the bits and pieces of it. All right, so let me see if I can bring this up. It, you know, who knows? Maybe it's censored already. I don't know. It happens sometimes. All right, so open Telegram, db, 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 db. Here we go. Boom. Come on.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. As you can see, I am joined by friend of the show, Scott Ritter, and we are talking about the latest developments in news. First, an issue very dear to Scott's heart, nuclear disarmament and arms control. The Pentagon has reportedly begun drawing up nuclear weapons strategy for war with Russia and China, a new one. And in this, the strategy overseen by Eldridge Kobe would place a greater emphasis on short-range tactical nuclear weapons in the events of a regional war. Now, it's interesting that Russia and China and nuclear war is becoming a subject, Scott, as we see that Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth clashed recently at Camp David over the Iran missile depletion issue, where he demanded in a very angry manner to Pete Hegseth why extreme munitions shortages are occurring now. And today he lashed out, Donald Trump did, saying that the U.S. has massive amount of munitions. Additionally, large amounts are being manufactured and shipped to the U.S. as needed, and that the leakers of these treasonous statements are being hunted down and will go to
jail.
That
is a lie.
There's other issues, Scott, including reports that sailors on the USS Lincoln who have been deployed to the Middle East since January of this year are exhausted and suffering from poor morale on the ship. So a crisis is brewing on this aircraft carrier where the ship's doctor and therapist have said that they need to hit port soon or people are going to start, you know, losing their minds, said one step-parent of someone on the carrier. They noted morale issues and issues of molding showers, inadequate facilities, even holes being seen emerging on the ship as it wears down out at sea. Scott, help us understand what's going on here. First, maybe to the nuclear war issue. It's such a curious thing that the United States is facing shortages on the front of air defenses and long-range missiles, and now is looking at nuclear war. How do you explain this?
Well, first of all, we have to take a look at the history of the nuclear posture review. In the United States, nuclear posture review is something that's ordered by a president, usually right when he comes in, but it can be ordered at any time it needs to be done. It's how the community examines, you know, what the posture of the United States will be regarding nuclear weapons. It used to be the United States, you know, maintained nuclear weapons in a purely deterrence mode, meaning, you know, we had weapons, we're ready to use them, but we're only going to use them if we're attacked with nuclear weapons. And then later on, this sort of got modified into we could potentially preempt your attack if we found out about it. But still, it's about nuclear. Then it became weapons of mass destruction, you know, especially after Iraq. And then we threw in cyber, said if you attack us with cyber that threatens our national infrastructure, we could respond with nuclear weapons. So we're expanding the scope and scale. And most recently, the nuclear posture was we can use nuclear weapons anytime we want to for any justification. We don't have to tell you. But it's still the concept was that these are the big nukes, the boomers, the ones that, you know, we focused on when it came to arms control. Tactical nuclear weapons, first of all, they've never really factored into arms control negotiations, and they never really factored into nuclear posture. They were just there in case we ever had to, you know, if we ever went to nuclear war, it gave us some options. But I don't think people thought that we would be starting nuclear war from the bottom up. I think most people thought that when nuclear war comes, it would be an exchange of the big ones. And then at some point in time, whatever surviving ground forces could use tactical nukes in the final spasm of death. This is why we reduced our tactical nuclear arsenal, because it really just didn't make any sense to have these weapons, especially when you're spending hundreds of billions of dollars a year on, seeking to maintain and sustain a conventional military superiority, or in some cases supremacy. This is why we spend all that money on those high-tech weapons. And part of that, our plan was to, you know, we sought to intimidate people. I mean, when you park an aircraft carrier off the shore of a potentially hostile nation, what you're saying is we can strike you anywhere we want using our aircraft, and our aircraft can avoid your air defenses by using standoff weapons. And if you fire anything at us, we'll shoot them down with our superior missile interception capabilities. The notion is that we had this technological supremacy, and so most nations would be intimidated into doing nothing. And if nations did choose to stand up to us, we would come in with a massive spasm of violence, hitting them with all this high-tech stuff, shock and awe, and they would just crumble and go away. And this was the goal. And, you know, this is, frankly speaking, let's look at Europe. There was a time when, remember early on when the Europeans, the United States, manufactured the lie that Russia was getting ready to use a tactical nuclear weapon against Ukraine. The response from Europe wasn't going to be nuclear weapons. What they told the Russians is, we will hit you with precision, long-range standoff strike weapons. It'll go into the depth of you, and we're going to knock you out like you've never been knocked out before. It'll be purely conventional, but we're going to hit you so hard, you're going to regret ever using a nuclear weapon against Kiev, so don't do it. And that's sort of been our strategy with China, too. You go after the Taiwanese, we're going to hit you with everything. Our long-range standoff weapons are going to take you out across the depth of China. You'll never know what hit you. And if you dare shoot at us, we got all these missile defense things that'll just shoot you down, because we're the best. We're better than the rest. That's the posture that's been taken. What's happened? Iran proved all that to be a lie. Not only do we not knock you out with long-range standoff strike weapons, we run out of them very quickly. And when we run out of them, we have no more options. And not only do our missile interceptors not shoot down your missiles, but when we run out of them, it gives you free rein to attack everything. We exhausted the weaponry allocated to the Iran conflict. This is the truth. We exhausted it. Now, you threw up some things about numbers and all that. And Hegseth has been quibbling to the president, because what Hegseth says is we still have sufficient long-range strike weapons and high-quality interceptors to continue this conflict against Iran. And he's not lying, except he's not putting in the bad news. In order to do this, we have to strip Europe and the Pacific bare, literally bare, of their remaining capability. We've already taken them down. I mean, we withdrew THAAD batteries and Patriot batteries from South Korea and Japan, for God's sakes. But now we're taking down the reserves, the things that are in Guam and all those little ammunition depots in Guam, and then secondary ones in Hawaii. The reserve, this is where we store the munitions that we need in case of war. And those are being drawn down too. The same thing in Europe, being drawn down to the point that if we had a shooting war with Russia and China, we couldn't sustain it. I mean, that big strike that everybody's threatening Russia with couldn't happen today because we don't have the weapons. Even if we did it, it wouldn't work, because now we know that the targeting is flawed and the weapons don't do what they're supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. It's all been a bluff. But we can't even bluff anymore. So now the question is, what do you do? We're weak. How do we keep the Chinese and the Russians from exploiting this weakness? Because as you know, the propaganda has been saying that China's ready to attack Taiwan. Some estimates said by the end of this year. And then, Russia, of course, once they win in Ukraine, although they're losing, Remember, Russia's losing. But once they win in Ukraine, they're going to move on the Baltics, and we have to be prepared for a war in the Baltics. We have to be able to fulfill Chris Donahue's wet dream of taking out Kaliningrad. But we can't because we don't have that. So now what they're doing is they're saying, what do we have? Well, we don't want to go to the boomers right off the bat because that's bad. We'll all die. Why don't we just open up with nukes? You know, it's sort of the Karaganov philosophy that we've been talking about, where the Russians are saying, let's hit Europe with some nukes early on to send the terror into them. And now the United States is formally, because Vladimir Putin wisely said no to the Karaganov doctrine. He said, no, hell no, we're not doing that. That's crazy. Well, now we know where crazy resides.
All right. So what is that sound? That is so strange. Sounds like something whooshing by. But anyway, so that's an hour-long conversation that was published only, to the best of my understanding, on Telegram. But I wanted you to be able to connect this whole idea of keeping Hormuz closed until 2029 and this idea that there's an, you know, and we've seen it materializing over the years, the new United States nuclear doctrine. We have the prophecy of Dr. David O'Rourke from 2010, where he's in Germany and he's talking about that he had a vision and he saw two tactical nukes. Now, on top of all this, though, okay, there's more to it. There's a lot more to it. So what you have is, and I'm not going to look to play this for you, because it's what I think is a body double of Netanyahu, because it's frail, it's smaller, it doesn't have the big bulging chest, it doesn't have the suntan, whatever the case is. But who's in charge and who's putting the words into whose mouth? It's all coming from the SOS ultimately. So what the satanic power structure is saying is that we don't care what you think. We don't care what the United States does. We don't care what Drake O.T. says. We don't care. We, okay, the synagogue of Satan, reserve the right to choose whatever we want to do whenever we feel like doing it. So essentially, they've come out, you know, them, and they have come out and just overrode everything. So while there's this appearance of some type of, I don't know, cooperative, whatever you want to call it, mishmash of lies, okay, it's not true. It's not true. And so now we have to look at what the pieces that fit, the pieces that can be trusted, all right, at least to some degree, all right, praise God, thank you, Jesus. So anyway, I wanted you to hear that because that was the next piece of a very long, complex puzzle. All right, thank you, Jesus. Now let me go down here further. Let's see here. Okay, here's another one. This one is entitled "That the Deep State," which, you know, who's the deep state, right? Anyway, so we know it's mostly the synagogue of Satan and everybody else that's kowtowing to him because they don't want to die. They don't want to die. People don't like to die. Unbelievers are afraid of dying. Because death has, well, you can only imagine. It must be horrible. But anyway, let's listen to this real quick. Okay, here we go.
The thing that my friends and I have been talking about, people that have been in the national security space, it's the, now, it doesn't have to just be that our government or people that are interested in this outcome set it up. And I think you're correct. 9/11, letting it through October 7th style, which is the most plausible answer for them as well. It's like, just because you didn't set it up, you can be quiet and allow it to happen and get some value out of it. It sounds like that was maybe the same thing that happened at Pearl Harbor. So this is not a new routine. It seems like every 30 to 50 years, we go through a thing where people have a certain sense, they have a certain awareness, and there's a great way to get America to be cohesive, to unify. And it's externalizing a threat. Whatever that threat is, it's irrelevant what it is. It actually doesn't matter at all. It can be the Chinese do, you know, global grid takedowns. So we got to get the sons of bitches in China. Or it can be, you know, it's the cave dwellers in Afghanistan. Like, take your pick. You let something happen that's terrible to the homeland and people all unite and they forget all their differences, their political BS. They surrender a bunch of their liberty. That's pretty much an important piece of it. And what you end up finding, and it doesn't matter whether it's pandemics or whether it's terrorist attacks, I have this instinct, and it's kind of scary to think about. I think we saw it during COVID. Americans actually don't want freedom. Like, deeply, there's a problem with a huge chunk of our population doesn't want freedom. They want freedom from responsibility and consequences. So they're willing to actually sign over an awful lot. And I think that the founding fathers recognized this all the way back. And that's why the average person wasn't even supposed to be a voter, because they just didn't have enough awareness or skin in the game. I said something this to one of our congressmen, who is actually, I think, a decent one. And I said, I don't think that it's just that our leaders are insane and doing wild things. And I don't think that we're just doomed, broadly speaking, because of that. I think we have an electorate that is deeply uneducated.
It's time for a false flag.
All right. So anyway, they're not the only ones. Okay, so you heard Alex Jones's voice. You heard his guest. I'm trying to see who that person was speaking. And for some reason in the introduction, it doesn't have it, but I'm not going to worry about that. Wait a minute. It says expert Kyle Serafin. Okay, so, he's a counterterrorism expert. That's the fellow that was doing the most of the talking. Now, they go into this thing about we need this false flag. Look, at the end of the day, what was 9/11? 9/11 was exactly that. How many people out there thus far have said, publicly speaking, I mean, right out in front of everybody, well, on media platforms and such, where there's going to be an event that's 10 times worse than 9/11? Well, what could be an event? What about the manhole covers? What were they doing under there? How come there were multiple manhole covers? What was that woman doing? Warning that she had she was sitting beside some kind of an intelligence agent with a foreign accent, warning her, that you don't want to be here for what's to come, and it's just such an ominous thing. And all these things get forgotten very quickly because people get busy with life. Believe me, I know. All right? But for whatever reason, the Lord has given me a gift, and that is I forget very little. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, let me go over here and see if I can find another piece that weaves into this and tells, weaves the tapestry of what the vast majority of the people qualified to have an opinion think. All right. All right. Praise God. So the next piece I'm going to have to read to you, which is fine. It says, breaking news. The Israeli military has directly informed CENTCOM. Those are the folks that operate in McDowell Air Force Base right down the road from my house. All right. CENTCOM is the operations center for all things that happen over in the Middle East. Okay. That's where I'm not going to get into the hierarchy. It's just a waste of time. So it says that Commander Adam Brad Cooper, that Israel does not need approval or support from the United States to wage war against Iran. Did you hear? Wage war against Iran. Per Israeli Channel 13. That's one of those channels where, it leaks out because somebody knows how to speak Hebrew and they get a translation. But there's a couple of channels. I think 12 is one of them. 13 is one of them that are local to that the Jerusalem area or whatever, the Tel Aviv area. And they find out a lot of things by translating what they're saying on there. And this is part of it. It says, Iran has previously threatened to strike Israel's Haifa oil refinery and Tel Aviv directly as soon as Israel strikes Iran again, with Iran having broken the air defense layer in Jordan and other Arab countries, Saudi Arabia, in daily attacks over the last few weeks, allowing it to strike Israel more effectively, and with Israel's own interceptor stocks now critically low, leaving it vulnerable. Okay. So anyway, there's that piece which weaves into this tapestry of the start of a really hot World War III. Yes, the mention of Taiwan. Honestly, at this point, it looks to me like the only option that's left, just like Ritter was saying, are tactical nukes. Everything else is depleted. Tomahawks, and yeah, they're robbing from Peter the PayPal, as they always say, as it goes, and as the saying goes, and they're emptying out, weapons caches, warehouses full of weapons in different parts of the world so that they can bring them over to use them to do whatever the next phase of attacks are going to be. So are they going to be tactical nukes? Is it going to be that Israel takes matters into their own hand, like was seen by the Prophet Dr. David O'Rourke in 2010. I don't know. We don't know. Okay. Praise God. God is in control. And there are breakouts of millions of Christians happening, revivals happening all over the world. And I, you know, if we have three major reports, how many more do we not know about? Right. Okay, good. All right, little bit of logic. So anyway, praise God, thank you, Jesus. A lot more, believe me. All right, so. All right, now to add on to what they were saying about the sailors on the ships that have been over there. Listen, I've been there, done that. I have never, man, it was horrible. To go 30 days was horrible. Can you imagine 9 months? Toilets overflow, folks. Let me tell you something. It's a very ugly thing to have to live through. Listen to this man, and believe you me, I believe with all of my heart he's telling the truth. Here we go.
There's really two things. The first is Donald Trump's general disdain, in particular for Donald Trump, our service members. He's called them suckers and losers. He says he likes people who don't get caught, don't get captured by the enemy. This is a man who can't wrap his brain around the very notion that people would serve, they would sacrifice, they would give something beyond themselves. He cannot comprehend that thought. So that's the first piece. The second is, this is what happens when you stumble into, or when you enter into, they didn't stumble into it, he chose this war, without a plan. No plan, no strategy, no idea for how they were going to rotate ships through. And now we see the results of that. Our service members are suffering. We don't have adequate supplies to defend the airspace around our bases. The USS Abraham Lincoln is now in its ninth month at sea. Five of those months have been engaged in combat operations. And the strain on our service members and their families is just building week by week.
Let me tell you something, folks. That is an extreme understatement of what they're going through. Okay, there's an introduction, and the guy goes by some vet name, and he says the USS Abraham Lincoln is in its 9 month at sea, 208 days without a port visit, 5 straight months in combat operations, moldy showers, no soap, broken toilets, crew members running on 2 days on in, you know, for two, you know, 48 hours. What they're doing is inhumane. Okay, believe me, it's inhumane. You can't imagine in your worst nightmare how horrible that is to go through. Now, I'm not going to tell you why I know a lot about this kind of thing, because then I have to go into a big old Navy story, and I really don't want to relive it. I'll tell you straight up, I don't want to relive it. And that was a small event. This is a huge event. So whatever you hear them saying, multiply it times 100. And that's a safe belief right there. I can tell you, it's way, many times more horrible than anyone could possibly imagine in their wildest nightmares. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So listen to this. This is this here is a dialogue by Tucker Carlson. But listen to what he says, which, by the way, is very true. But, you know, if you were a member of the Synagogue of Satan. Oh, and by the way, somebody who had really done their homework dug up an old illustration of the being that they refer to as Molech or Baal when they were feeding children into the fire. Well, what's interesting is that entity had a little tiny hat on its head, and it had the curls that go down the side of their faces. He's starting to connect the dots. When, you know, all this stuff, none of this is legit. It's satanic. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to understand these things right now. It doesn't mean that there isn't a remnant. The Bible talks about a remnant of the sons of Jacob, but that's not who we're dealing with right now. There's all kind of data out there and many videos and training and with quotes out of even the Zohar and the Babylonian Talmud about where did they come from, the Khazars, and how they moved into Eastern Europe and all changed their names, and they got involved in the Bolshevik Revolution where they killed more Christians than, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. Let's listen to this real quick from Tucker Carlson. It's very revealing. Praise God. Here we go.
Focused on whether we're going to invade Karg Island. Probably not, by the way. Who knows? The Israelis are tending to their own agenda using the cover of our military and our tax dollars, okay? It's just a fact. So one of the things they're doing is trying to grab southern Lebanon. Now, why does that matter? What's Lebanon? Who cares? Well, I don't know. If you're a Christian, you care, because Lebanon has the largest population of Christians in the region by far. In fact, it was a Christian country for centuries. There's a Christian president of Lebanon. Did you know that? Every time Lebanon is mentioned, it's through the lens of like Israel's interest. But if you're a Christian, you know, you don't have to hate Israel, but you may have different interests. Like, what about the Christians? Well, Lebanon is a Christian president. The head of the military in Lebanon is Christian. And there are a lot of Christian villages, ancient Christian villages, villages Jesus probably walked through, been Christian ever since, only 2,000 years. And they're being destroyed because under the cover of this war paid for and led by us, Israel has decided to take a big chunk of Lebanon. Watch.
All
right, now I'm not going to go into all the little meetings that they're having. We know. Everywhere the synagogue of Satan sends the Babylonian Talmudic army from the bowels of Sheol, the depths of satanic existence upon the earth, everywhere they go, the first thing they do is take out churches, hospitals, anything in the, I mean, just absolutely beyond horrible. There have been more, at the hands of the SOS, there have been more Christian groups, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. All throughout Syria. Now it's they're just, and the Christians don't understand it. They don't get it. Never mind what they're doing. You could go on for hours. This is a topic that could literally last for hours. All right. So I wanted you to be aware of that too, because it plays a role in what they're trying to accomplish. Praise God. Okay. Also, let's see here. So Mel Gibson goes on Joe Rogan and starts telling him about all the evil that's going on in the Vatican and trying to figure out why it's going on. But I'm going to wrap this show up, because as I'm looking, oh no, there's some really good stuff here. Praise God. Oh, so, Israel's controlling, dictating strategy with, yeah, okay. So I'm looking, let me go ahead and play this for you. This is Lieutenant Commander or something like that, Anthony Aguilar. Okay, listen to this, what he says. This is amazing. This guy's a real serious expert. I played him before, I believe.
And I'm not saying this in terms of hyperbole. I'm saying this literally. Israel is now controlling and dictating American military strategy in this war with Iran. And here's why I'll say that. Every senior military leader we've heard from, who was it last week? The U.S. Air Force four-star general, Grinkovich, Air Force. Yeah. U.S. Air Force General Grinkovich, the commander of EUCOM, European Command.
Oh, he has That's to decide. Only- he has to decide between the U.S. and Israel, which to defend. Go ahead. Bingo. This is key.
That guy has said, hey, Mr. President, it's now no longer a question of deciding between protecting our assets and then are we going to help Ukraine or are we going to help Israel? The question has now become, because we are so depleted in our THADs and our missiles and our SASMs and our ATACMs, we're now so depleted that the question is now, are we going to defend Israel or are we going to defend American service members and U.S. interests? Well, you have General Dan Kane. General Dan Kane, the Air Force four-star general, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who went to the president last week and said, this idea of bombing Iranian power plants and civil infrastructure is not a good idea, sir. Okay, well, if the European command commander, the central command commander, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and therefore every commander under them is telling President Trump that this is not a good idea, then who's telling him it's a good idea? And then you turn one page of that book of horrors and you see who is now directly running the military industrial complex. Look up right now, you can Google it. I can't remember the guy's name, but just yesterday, the former director of Mossad, was put in charge of, one of the largest U.S. defense production companies in the country.
Is that linked with the new NDAA? Is that linked with the section 219?
It's linked to the new NDAA. And it's my hypothesis. There he is right there.
Yeah, I'll read the headline.
Look up Ondas and how big they are as a defense contractor. And here's Tony's theory. Here's my theory. This is not fact. This is not based on any evidence that I've seen, but this is my theory. The National Defense Authorization Act, Section 1217, within the Senate passing. Remember, it's already passed the House. That's right. That's a done deal. That is a fait accompli. Section 217, or excuse me, 219 has already passed. That's a done deal. In the Senate, the NDAA, Section 1217, they've already agreed on that. They already have over 60. The point of departure on the NDAA to finish up around the fringes to get it to pass the Senate isn't based on Section 1217 anymore. That's got the 60 votes it needs. It's going to pass.
All right. So there you have it. And this isn't actually an hour-long program, but praise God, they usually give about a three-minute what do you call it? It's a powerful intro to the entire discussion, and then they go into the depth of the 60-minute long interview. We don't have time for that, praise God. Now, I have time to play for you one more thing that it's just hard to believe. I mean, it's truly hard to believe. Now, I could say that Netanyahu used the F word when he was talking about, giving a darn about whether, you know, they're going to follow anything. These are all, it's all part of the script, okay? It's all part of the script. I could play for you Candace Owens going nuts. As a matter of fact, I am. I'm gonna take my chance. And the reason I say take my chance is because there's limitations on the length of the MP3s, and it's a pretty serious problem. All right, praise God. Let me play this for you.
HIT show for sure, and I saw the execution almost live. Crazy. By the way, you really get into the history of the Nuremberg trials as well.
Candace Owens.
Young boys who had to serve in the military. Just lined up and shot, found guilty because they wore a uniform that was their country's uniform. Crazy what happened to them. It was a mass Christian slaughter. And the Bolsheviks, who created concentration camps, just all magically disappeared and went to Israel. Just kidding. Nope, not kidding at all. They all went to Israel and they gave themselves new names. Hebrew-sounding ones. Yes. Yes, that's how Benjamin Mielikowski becomes Netanyahu, because it just sounds more biblical, despite the fact that he is a worshiper of the occult and is obviously possessed by a lot of demons.
All right. So, got to hand it to her. And, you know, you have to wonder why Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens haven't been taken out by the Mossad. The number one reason that I can come up with is that they're so far along in their control that it's irrelevant. They don't really care anymore. See, that's the thing. When your hands are full of taking over the world kind of thing, you know, a Candace Owens going yickety-yak, a Tucker Carlson going yickety-yak and everything, after a while, as long as you got things moving forward at the rate of speed that you need them or want them to be, and you've got control and are increasing in control, and you have a game plan that will facilitate your end state for the greater Israel, tactical nukes. So then, suddenly, what Candace says isn't that important. Candace is not talking about the manhole covers. Candace is not talking about the woman that we played on the prior show. Neither is Tucker Carlson. It's stitching all these things together and saying, okay, what's next? We don't know for sure what's next, because they're, like I said, robbing from Peter to pay Paul, and they're still grabbing stuff and moving them around. There's a lot of, fuel refueling tankers that are still over there. Who knows for sure, but a lot of people powerfully believe it's a major false flag. And they could literally wait until after the November fake elections. They're not worried about who's going to get elected in November, because they're going to fake the whole thing. It's going to be a complete fraud. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there is one more thing I want to play for you, because it's just like, Are you kidding me? All right, so let me see if I can find it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hold on just a second. Okay, praise God. So what appears in the middle of my feed as I'm flipping around in the wee hours of the morning is something. I don't know why I was drawn to click on it. I don't know why I was. Believe it or not, this was actually aired on television in, yes, believe it or not, 1984. Okay? Surely you know the significance of the year 1984, right? Listen to this. I'm going to play this little TV spot for you. This was played on American television. That is, if they haven't removed it yet.
Live on Channel 5, this is the 10 o'clock news with Deborah Norville.
Coming out revealing secret negotiation between the Nazis and the Zionists in 1933, which allowed German Jews and their assets to go to Palestine. Rich Samuels joins us tonight with the story of the controversy behind the book and the author's struggle to write it. Rich?
Deborah, with the rise of Adolf Hitler to power in the spring of 1933, the Jews of the world were faced with a dilemma. They could raise a cry of protest, a cry few would heed, or they could make a deal with Hitler, a deal that would bring a step closer their dream of an independent Jewish state.
American Jews marched calling for the boycott of all German exports. Jews throughout Europe echoed that call. So did Jews everywhere.
All right, so I'm going to cut to the chase for the sake of time, because this is an 11 minute and 20 second clip. But when you tie it all together, what Candace said about the Bolsheviks moving in, them changing their names, because they're really Khazarian Mafia, really. Synagogue of Satan. They're the ones that are in control of all of the intelligence agencies. They're the ones that are manipulating the things that are happening. Look, they're the ones that are guiding the missiles from supposedly the Ukraine, but it's really the CIA, in to antagonize and murder people in Russia. All these things that are happening right now that are part of the vast Niagara Falls of lies that people have fallen victim to are not true. And what's happening right now for real is what you just heard me introduce to you through these various audio bites, okay? Because I could sit here and say these things until I'm blue in the face, but when you're hearing other experts like Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilera and all these other people, Douglas McGregor, Scott Ritter, the list goes on and on. When you get this and you stitch it all together, I don't know what's going on right at this very moment, but if Iran's coming out and saying we're not going to open up Hormuz until 2029, which is the latest thing I got on this report today, what do you think is going to happen? Anyway, I say praise God, thank you, Jesus, and thank you for joining us for this program. And like I said, I'll keep on punching my way through everything that's going on so that I can do the best I can to keep you appraised. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. We give you all the worship. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.